All right, tonight we're going to talk about, this is Wednesday evening, 1/24/24, the journey from shaken to unshaken. That's kind of the journey we've been on. I know we all get weary just like the Israelites were weary. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. They never did make it in. But God proved them, tested them, see if they'd obey him. They'd come out of a system much like the one that we've come out of. And it got so tough that they were crying to go back to bondage. They thought the bondage was better. I don't think so. All right, let's get into it here. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. All right, y'all there? Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Prove there just means to test. He's testing the waters. See, he could have taken them the short route, you know, the 11-day journey. One reason he didn't is because of the animals on the land would have probably devoured them. But God decided to take them the long way around so that he could see where they were. All right. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1 there. We're just going to read the first six. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know that what was in thine heart, kind of like your fruits being squeezed. When hard circumstances come, the real thing comes out or comes to the surface. To prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. All right, with that I want to turn to Romans chapter 2, or 12, Romans 12, verse 2. What was the Lord trying to do? He was trying to get their mind renewed to his ways, his laws, his way of doing things, because all they'd known was the ways of Egypt. And we know, you know, when Moses went up into the mountain to get God's law, what did they do? They went back to Baal worship. Golden calf, you know, after everything the Lord had done for them. All right, Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's how we're going to come to know if the perfect will of God is by the renewing of our mind. It's like if you're infiltrated with the ways of the world, the Word of God comes in, it's like it replaces that old mindset with God's will. Right here, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. It says here, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Right here, prove here means to test or prove. Old and New Testament, God's aim is to get His laws into our hearts so we will perform His will. And by the heart, I mean here. I mean, you can be born again here, but the renewing process comes here. That's where we are targeted by the enemy, and that's what has to be torn down. That's why our weapons has to do with our mental state. Not carnal, mighty through God, just putting down the strongholds, casting down every thought, high lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. All right, let's keep going. All right, this is first and foremost in the success of our journey to becoming unshakable and unmoved. Let's turn over to Ephesians 4 now. Starting with verse 12 there. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head of in Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. How did Paul get to where he was? He went through all kinds of trials, didn't he? Probably he's gone through more than anybody else in the Bible. You know, there's some in the Old Testament that did, but he's kind of the New Testament example, except for Jesus Himself, of course. How did he get to where he was? He was proved. He went from the devil sending trials to shake him to where the devil's trials didn't shake him anymore. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12. Starting with verse 1 there. Paul was the one that started doing the shaking. All right, 2 Corinthians 12, 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or rather out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. I don't know that I can say I'm there, that I take pleasure in it. Oh no, I am not there yet. Lord knows. All right. So he went from there saying, Lord, what is this? Please take this off of me. To this, let's go to Acts 28. First five verses. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. I've talked before about what Paul went through those 2 weeks, and the angel came and comforted him and said, fear not, Paul. You're going to have to stand before Caesar, so I'm going to rescue you and everyone on the ship. But just think about it. He went through this process of, Lord, would you please take this off of me? It's so grievous. To when the viper came out, he just shook it off like nothing even happened. Are you there? Yeah, right here, Acts 20, just back a few pages. This is Acts 20, 22. And now I behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So he said that he was not moved. And that's what they saw. That man wasn't moved. He just shook it off and acted like nothing happened. He didn't get there overnight. That's a long process. I don't know how many years. Only the Lord knows that. Yeah. We're going to look at the word move here. There's two things in the Strong's here. Let's go to scripture first. There's a scripture I want you to see first, then we'll look at that word. 2 Corinthians 4. We'll look at verse 17 and 18. Well, let me read 16. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So we get a clue here about the inside. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So I think we get a clue here of how Paul operated. He didn't look at the things that were seen, but the things that were unseen. He spent his time building up his inner man. We were talking today about, you know, when you first come into the faith, and probably, I don't know, a lot of faith people still do it. You just make confessions and all that kind of stuff. But really, it's not these outward confessions that gets anything done. it's what is going on in the inner. Like, if you want a certain thing, then you need to see yourself at that thing. You need to have an inner image of the things that God has prepared for you. He says everything's possible with Him, so there's not anything. So, as you focus on their inner image, it builds a picture in you. That's how God, when He spoke, light be, light was. That's how He did it. And we're made in His image and likeness, so that's the way we do it. It's not about how many times I can say it. It's not by structured outward works, speaking, and all the things we go through. It's about what's on the inside. Now, I know confession doesn't renew your mind. I know it does. So I'm not saying it's totally altogether bad as far as renewing your mind and getting your thinking right. But when it comes to creating, it's not about making confessions. It's about getting that inside picture on the inside of you. And when that picture's complete and God says, okay, here's the word, and you say it, and it happens. So that's what, I guess, what is the hardest part for me concerning the church today. And, you know, I'm not blaming anybody. Everybody's been taught the way they've been taught. But so much of it is just outward stuff, and there's very little of working on that inner life. And that's really the only thing that counts. That's what Paul was saying. All right, right here, the word move. Something said, including the thought. By implication, a topic or subject of discourse. Also mental reasoning. Mental reasoning. When you get moved by something, what's happening? Bunch of junk going on in here. Here's the second one. Form of observation, primarily to make or do. All right, God is allowing on this journey so He can prove us. He wants us to be unshakable and unmovable when circumstances come our way. And you know, by learning to do that, then you're going to learn that you don't just step out and do things. Because we cannot operate in the spirit and operate in the flesh also. And by flesh, I mean getting outside of God's word. In other words, He's told you to do a certain thing and you do something else. I'm not talking about you have to live in this world. Okay. All right, let's look at another scripture. This is Luke 22. Verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. So Jesus had already told him. He said, oh, I'll die with you. And he said, before the cock crows, three times you will deny me. Or is it two times, three times? You will deny me two times. You will deny me three times. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Kind of one of those deal where the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak type of moments. We can't just say we are. God will say, prove it. That's what his proving process is all about. Prove it. Are you going to just be those that talk it? Are you going to be one of those that walk it? Acts chapter 10. That's not what I wanted. Just a minute. Let me find where I want. Hold on. It's not 10, it's 12. How that got to be 10, I don't know. Verse 1 there. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Rise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. While they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. He, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. He departed and went into another place. Jesus knew, didn't he? That's what he was trying to teach them. Peter got a first-hand taste of it, didn't he? Jesus was in the prison. He didn't try to compromise to get himself out either, and neither did Peter. All right, one more passage of Scripture. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. This is Psalms 105. Starting with verse 17. I was looking for this, and I realized it's not in the King James Version, but it is in the Amplified. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a servant. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron, and his soul entered into the iron. Until his word to his cruel brothers came true, and to the word of the Lord tried and tested him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the peoples, and let him go. He made Joseph lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. So Joseph went through all the hard things that he did. Really hard things. For what reason? God had greatness for him. He said God sent him. And it says in many places in that story that God was with him. Even when he was falsely accused, put in the prison. What I want to stress to you today is your soul becoming like iron. That's the type of soul that's not moved by what it sees or what it experiences. It's only moved by what God says.